When the Spirit of the Lord come upon my heart, I will dance like David. When the Spirit of the Lord comes my heart, I will dance like David. I will dance, I will dance, I will dance like David. I will dance, I will dance like David. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will pray like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. I will pray, I will pray, I will pray like David prayed. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David. When the Spirit of the Lord comes upon my heart, I will sing like David.
Victory is mine, victory is mine, victory today. I call Satan, get there behind me, victory today. Joy is mine, joy is mine, joy. Thank you.
one of them.
Down from the Father. Father, we thank you for peace. We thank you, Lord, for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you that we can gather in your house. Oh, Father, just this privilege that you've given unto us. How we long to use this opportunity, Lord. And that's why our souls, Father, we bring them to submit ourselves to you. And the cry of our souls, Lord, Father, we just want to feed at your table upon this day. We just want to guide, to dine as your guests. Father, desiring your leadership, Lord, that your blessing would be upon everything that would be said and done. Even as has been prayed already for them that aren't here, Lord, them that have traveled, we pray your special blessing upon them. The sisters in Romania, bless them there. Watch over them, we pray. Father, the saints at work. Father, Lord, having to, Lord, fend and Lord, cater and provide for their families. We pray your blessing upon them, Lord. Pray that you'd lead them and guide them and watch over them. The visitors in our gates, we pray your blessing upon them in a special way, Lord. And Father, we thank you for song worship, Lord. Thank you that you've given us an opportunity, Lord, to express ourselves in song. Now, Father, we desire, Lord, the same blessing to be in your word. And that's how we just want to get ourselves out the way. Father, Lord, myself and all of your people, that, Father, you may speak and that you may hear in us. That, Father, you'd give us ears to hear. That you'd give us grace to perceive. That grant us mercy, Lord. That no matter what we'd hear, when you'd speak unto us, we may walk in it even as we'd leave this place, Lord. That, Father, may look into that image, Lord, and behold your glory and be changed into the same glory. Father, to come into your presence, Lord. Father, to come before thee when you do something for us that will never be the same. That is our desire. And Father, surely that is your desire upon this day. Bless your people gathering in like manner. Brother Christian and the saints, bless them. Brother Billy, Brother Tommy, Lord. Brother George Quinn, we pray for them, Lord. Pray for Brother Lubanza and Francis. We can bless him, Lord. You be with him, Lord, and pray. May your hand be upon him. May your grace be with them, Lord, I pray. But Father, now we just want to shut ourselves in with you. We just want to get quiet, Lord, inside of ourselves. And we ask of you, Lord, speak, Lord. Break unto us the bread of life. Father, feed our souls. Guide us, we ask. As, Lord, we look to you with thanksgiving. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. God bless you, saints. Good morning this morning. Brother Max Jr. wants to thank the Lord. He is 1 year younger. God bless you, brother. So happy birthday to the brother. We've also got visitors, quite a number of visitors today. God bless each of them. Brother Maury, the deacon in Brother Chandler's church in London. God bless you, brother. Amen, amen, brother. God bless you. Also have Sister Tembi and Abigail from Birmingham. God bless them. Amen. And Sister Dube's friend Sharon as well. God bless you. May the Lord be with you. Amen. We also have a dedication at the end. Brother Alex and Sister Olga, they brought along their little guy to be dedicated. So may the Lord bless them as well. It's good to see them. Let's open Exodus chapter 4. Just read two verses. Let's read verse 6 and verse 7. Exodus chapter 4, verse 6 and verse 7. It says, and the Lord said furthermore unto him, put now thy hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow. And he said, put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again and plucked it out of his bosom. And behold, it was turned again as his other flesh. Let's also read Psalm 80, book of Psalms, Psalm 80. Just verse 1. Psalm 80 verse 1 says, "Give ear, O shepherd of Israel, thou that leadest Joseph like a flock, thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth." Psalm 100 verse 3, we'll finish with that. Psalm 100 verse 3. This should be a good thing for us to fulfill, because David is saying, "Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture." It's not a wonderful thing to know. May the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. Saints, we want to have a look today just at this thought of shepherds and sheep. Shepherds and sheep, it's such an important principle. Now, the prophet speaks in the message why it had to be shepherds. He says, throughout all Scripture, redemption has been represented through shepherds and sheep. So God has always represented redemption through shepherds and sheep. We know that Moses, when he met the burning bush, he was out tending Jethro's flocks. He was a shepherd. And then there was a type. He led the sheep to Mount Horeb, and then he met the Lord. And then later on, you find the unfolding of God's plan. He becomes the shepherd to Israel, and he leads the sheep back to Mount Horeb, and the Lord comes down and speaks to them. So you find that there's something about shepherds and sheep, this principle of the Lord being our shepherd. The prophet says redemption has been represented through shepherds and sheep. That's right. Why? It's in shadows and types. It was through sheep and by shepherds that he revealed himself. Amen. All was shadows and types. So God has always revealed himself through sheep and by shepherds. You know, that's the way that he works. And we know that Jesus said in John 10, "I am the good shepherd. Amen. The good shepherd giveth his life for his sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known by mine." So this great mystery of redemption. Now, whenever we're speaking of the mystery of redemption, we know that a mystery is something which you need to understand personally. Now, mystery is something that's got to be personally revealed to you. Now, mystery requires revelation. It requires an unsealing of something. So, sometimes the prophet, he speaks in very simple language. And sometimes we can stumble over that simplicity because he says some very simple things. And sometimes he says things in a real summary of a way that there's an incredible amount of virtue in what he said. That if you can just not stumble over the simplicity, but you can go and take that key and dig deeper and open things up from there, he's going to teach you a lot of things in there. Now, in the message, does God change his mind? He says, "But you see God, the great spirit, the Father. In him was attributes," we know that, "such as to be a father, to be a savior, to be a healer." So we'll add one more, to be a shepherd. Now, it was always in God. If Psalm 23 is "the Lord is my shepherd," it means he's always had shepherd's attributes in him. So there was always something in Jehovah that he wanted to express himself. He wanted to be a savior. He wanted to be a healer. Wanted to be a redeemer. But he always wanted to be a shepherd. He always had this in himself, this great mystery inside of himself. He's always been Jehovah Ra. He's always been the shepherd. But he never had an opportunity to express himself. So in order to express himself as a shepherd, he had to create sheep. You know, that's why people, scientific people and people that are intellectual and so forth, they don't understand the great simplicity of God's program. They say, "But how can God make people that can fall?" Yeah, but when you're already in Christ, when you've experienced redemption, you know who God is. Our friends, you'll see that program is a mighty program. He's so mighty in his thoughts, but to other people they say, "But it's not fair. Why does God make people knowing that they're going to sin and all that kind of stuff?" The best answer to that is get in his presence and ask him one day. And let him reveal it to you, and you will see that your understanding is very insignificant. Your understanding is so puny, so finite, yet his understanding is so infinite and so great. That's why it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways not your ways. As far as the heavens are above the earth, So you, a little ant, want to speak unto this great infinite being to say, "You, I think it would have been better for you to do this and that and the other." My friend, you're more of a fool than me. I wouldn't say that to him. No, to think like that. You know, and that's why people have never come into the presence of God, have never experienced redemption. They don't understand it. Jesus said, unless a man is born again, he cannot see, he cannot understand the things of the kingdom of God. And you really see it. But once you're in the kingdom, once you're in the body, you'll see this is a master plan. Now, in order for him to be a shepherd, he needed sheep. You know, so he made us as sheep. He made us helpless. He didn't make us self-sufficient beings. He made angels like that, but he didn't want, he could never be a shepherd to the angels. He's not a shepherd to the angels. He was never a redeemer to the angels. He was never a savior to the angels, but he wanted to reveal the most precious aspects, attributes of who he was. And those are his shepherd attributes, because these are to do with redemption. And the redemptive attributes of God are the most precious. These are the things that bring out love and bring out worship inside of his people. These are the attributes. But in order to express himself as a shepherd, he needed first to create people. And inside of those people, he had to put the attributes of sheep. You see? So each and every one of us, we've been created with sheep attributes. That's how God made us. But we've also been created with shepherd attributes. Now that's what you're going to see, is that each and every one of us also has a call to, a mother is supposed to be a shepherd to her flock. A father is supposed to be a shepherd to his family. A pastor is supposed to be a shepherd. And each and every one, you're supposed to be your brother's keeper. So you're supposed to be a shepherd to your brother, a shepherd to your sister. So just as much as we've got these attributes in us to be sheep, we've also got attributes that the great shepherd wants to use us to shepherd others. That's what he wants to use us for. But we'll see the principle that if we can't remain as sheep, then we're not entitled to be shepherds. Now, if we can't keep ourselves under correct headship, then we are not entitled to expect others to be under our headship. And that's how we're going to see the great fusion, the great masterpiece was Jesus, who is both the Lamb and the Shepherd. Amen. That God brought the fullness now of his attributes in Christ. And he was both the sheep, the greatest of all sheep that has ever lived. And he's the great shepherd. Yes. And the reason he's the great shepherd is because he's a great sheep. Yes. Because he learned what it was to be submissive. He knows what it is to follow the leadership of the spirit of the shepherd. He did nothing until he saw him. The great shepherd led him to do it first. And that's what's qualified and entitles him to be the great shepherd of our souls. The great bishop and shepherd of our souls. You know, it's because that's the way that he is. So we are made with these sheep attributes. There's something inside of us. There's a desire. There's a deep inside of every single one of us that wants to be shepherded. Amen. We know we come into this world, we're lost. We don't know where we came from. We don't know where we go. We don't know what we're supposed to do. We keep meeting up to situations, crises. We try our best. We try to use our reasoning, our own understanding to get through those kind of things. And soon we realize that, hey, I don't want to go through this life like this. I don't want it to be hit and miss. I don't want to be throwing a dice and hoping that my decision's right. I don't want it to be like it. Surely there's got to be a better system. There's got to be a better plan. Surely there's got to be some order. There's got to be something here that makes sense. And there's a deep inside of us, and it's those sheep attributes inside of us that are crying out for expression because God put them there. Because there's the deep inside of Jehovah. He's the great shepherd. So there's something inside of him that before the foundation of the world, he wanted to express himself as a shepherd. So he made us and he put us on this earth and he put sheep attributes inside of us. And there's a deep inside of us that wants to be led, that wants to be guided, that wants to be protected. We don't want to have to make these big decisions by ourselves. No, we don't want to have to make big, big, far-reaching decisions to affect ourselves and other people that are depending on us. No, there's something inside of us, but then there's the fallen nature as well. And the fallen nature now wants to be independent, wants to show that it knows what it's doing. And I don't need anybody to show me. I can make my own way in life. I can do what I want to do. It's my prerogative. You know what the worldly songs are? Follow your heart and you'll be free, and all these lies that people sing about. Because the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You know, so that's where now we have this conflict inside of us, even when we're born again. When in the kingdom, you've got the natural man. You know, he's want survival of the fittest. He wants to fight his way out of danger. He wants to, you know, show his reasoning power. He wants to show that he knows he's in control. But then there's something beyond the veil. There's attributes inside of there that say, I don't think this is the right way. No, this isn't, I don't know how this is going to end up. I don't want to be taking a risk with these kind of things. You know, so to be really successful as a believer, it's allowing those sheep attributes to express themselves, to have the preeminence. And that needs getting yourself out of the way. Casting down reasoning sometimes, casting down understanding, submission, yieldedness, giving yourself into his hands so that those sheep attributes that you're predestined in you, he can come and quicken them now. There can be a quickening power and you can express what a real sheep is. Because that's what we're predestined to be. And that's why he made Adam and Eve as sheep. They couldn't lead themselves. Yeah, look at them. He has to warn them all the time. Be careful of this and don't eat of that tree. And hey, that serpent, watch out. And all the different things which you don't know what was said in the garden. But they were sheep. And the Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. And God made them like that. He made Adam and Eve with the propensity, the capacity to go astray. You know, and that stumbles people. And they say, how can God make people that can go astray? Because God is great. Because he's the shepherd. And he so much wanted to reveal himself as the shepherd of his people. So he made sheep that could go astray. Because in allowing sheep to go astray, it's going to bring out the greatest of his attributes. Because just as a shepherd, if nothing ever went wrong, a shepherd's never going to really express who he is. If there's no wolves, if there's no danger, if there's no situations that he has to rescue his sheep, he's never going to fully express the greatness of who he is as a shepherd. But when he has his sheep, he has his flock, he allows them in a situation, they get into some danger at the Red Sea, then he shows himself, I'm the shepherd of Israel. You know, when the wolves come, now he can express himself really as who the shepherd really is. These attributes can manifest themselves and the sheep can really, really appreciate. You can really, really appreciate these great attributes of who he is. So that's why he made us the way that we are, with this deep desire inside of ourselves. There's like an instinct inside of us that, you know, we know we need leadership. We know we need answers which are beyond ourselves. We know that we are not self-contained. We can't do it all ourselves. We need outward input. There's certain junctions in life, certain decisions we need to make that we need the shepherd, the spirit of the shepherd to guide us in those things. And Satan plays on those things through superstition. Now that people will go to witch doctors and they'll use all these different Ouija boards and tarot cards and all these things. You know? It's trying to find leadership, trying to find guidance and direction, trying to put some order, trying to find some, you know, something to define the way that they should walk. And Satan preys on that, but that'll never satisfy the deep inward desire that God put inside of us. Until you come into relationship with the shepherd himself, you'll never be satisfied. You might try to believe in UFOs and go after those things, and then you'll try to believe in all these other reincarnation. There's nothing in those things to satisfy the soul. It's nothing. But Satan knows this inward desire inside of each and every one of us, that we know we need to be led. We need guidance. We need shepherding inside of our lives. You know, so he tries to really take advantage of that. And the proof of this is, like the prophet says, whenever there's a supernatural manifestation, like when God sent Moses or sent the prophet, people come with deep questions now. The questions of marriage and divorce, questions that don't understand, what about this? What about this person who died and this was the situation they were in? You know, the moment there's a supernatural manifestation, people come and bring those questions and bring those, you know, the things from within the veil. Because it's in us to do that. God made us to do that. But you just got to make sure you're bringing it to the right being. You got to make sure you're bringing it to the right shepherd. You don't want to be bringing it to just anybody. These are things that God, he is responsible for his sheep. And that is why you find at the junctions of time, God always sends a prophet shepherd. You'll see it in why it had to be shepherds. He says, God sends his prophet shepherds. Moses was a prophet shepherd. And the great shepherd came down in the burning bush. And he came and commissioned his prophet shepherd to lead his sheep, the flock, out of Egypt. And he overshadowed him and filled that prophet and sent him forth. And God was now shepherding his flock. Amen. To take them out and to lead them safely home in the Exodus time. You know, we should really appreciate that. So God makes sheep in this kind of a way that they can go astray. And they do. Very soon there's disaster, it seems. The sheep, they fall. They go astray. They eat what they shouldn't have eaten of. You know, so what does that bring forth? That brings forth now a greater attribute of the shepherd. He's now the seeking shepherd. Amen. He's not just the shepherd, he's now the seeking shepherd. He's coming and he's seeking for that which is lost. Ah, friends, and that's the attributes that make us love him. That's the attributes that make us want to be like him. Those are the kind of attributes, the kind of demonstrations in the life of a person that transforms you. Because that's redemption. That transforms you from what you were to what you're supposed to be. It's these kind of experiences when you lost. Yeah, you've tried your best. You can't get out of that situation. And you've put yourself in that situation. And here comes the seeking shepherd. Adam, Adam, where art thou? Now you thought you were smart. You weren't so smart, were you? Yeah. And then he comes with a solution. And he comes and clothes them. And he applies redemption into their situation. And now there's new hope and there's new life once again into their situation when they thought there was no hope. How can they not love a being like that? That he gives them his word and they disobey it. And then he comes and he redeems them from the situation they put themselves in. And then the carnal man will blame God and say it was God's fault. No, it wasn't. It was Adam and Eve's fault. They didn't listen. And it was your fault that you're in the situation, not God's fault. Don't blame God. The reason you get yourself in complications is because you don't listen to God. Because you listen to your understanding, you listen to your reason, you listen to your neighbor, you listen to auntie so-and-so or uncle so-and-so, you're not supposed to listen to them. You're supposed to follow the leadership of the Spirit of the great shepherd himself. Because he's the one who knows how to shepherd his flock. To bring you to where you're supposed to be. So these attributes start coming forth now from him as man falls. And now he comes and reveals himself as the shepherd of Israel. And he redeems them now at Exodus time through Moses. And it goes through the Old Testament. But all through the Old Testament, people have never seen even a more precious attribute. Because when now he comes forth in Christ as Jesus, he's going to be the smitten shepherd now. Now, this is an even greater mystery of redemption. Amen. He's not just the shepherd, the seeking shepherd. He now becomes the smitten shepherd. Jesus said, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. And he becomes the smitten shepherd. The shepherd himself becomes the Lamb of God. Amen. My, and you find this great mystery of redemption comes on down. That you find the Lamb himself, who's the shepherd, he himself becomes the smitten shepherd. He becomes the Lamb to take away the sins of the world. And you start seeing, but my. Now this unveiling of redemption is getting deeper and deeper. God is revealing more and more. Listen from Exodus 4 we read. When the Lord came down to Moses. Because when Moses came into the presence of the burning bush. This was now the time of redemption. And now there was a, whenever the pillar of fire comes down and speaks to a shepherd prophet, he's always going to reveal, he's going to unseal and unveil the mysteries of redemption. You know, so this hand that he puts in his bosom, he says, put your hand in your bosom, Moses. And he puts it in his bosom and he takes it out and it's leprous, white as snow. The last stages of leprosy. Then he says, okay, put it back in your bosom. And he puts his hand back in his bosom, takes it out. It's perfectly well once again. No matter where you read, no one ever understood that until the prophet came. You see, Moses, maybe in that day, he didn't fully understand what that meant. But God was showing a mystery of redemption. How it was going to be shepherds and sheep. God was showing how he was going to redeem his sheep. Right at the burning bush. And that's our friends, we need to come into the presence of the burning bush to understand the mysteries of redemption. Now sometimes things will happen in your life. He'll ask you to do things like he asked Moses that you won't understand. But stay long enough in the presence of the burning bush and you'll start to understand the revelation, the voice behind that sign, that God is unveiling something really deep. Now we know it from the message, why there to be shepherds. The prophet now reveals why Moses had to do this. And he says, God Almighty portraying himself in Moses, the shepherd prophet. So the shepherd prophets always represents God to the people. Yes, That's what he represents, even the signs that he does and the way God deals with his prophet. You know, a prophet is a true sign that's overlooked. It's a sign to the people, just the prophet himself. He says, watch how God made himself known. Put your hand in your bosom. We have no reason to believe Moses was left-handed. So he must have put his right hand into his bosom. Because most men are right-handed. He put in his right hand. Now watch. What a picture we have here of Jehovah in Moses, the shepherd prophet. Moses representing God because God was in Moses. Put your hand in your bosom. What a sign. Holding his right hand over his heart. Standing like this. Where the hidden secrets of redemption had been hidden since the foundation of the world. So by holding his hand over his heart, God had in his heart these hidden secrets of redemption. They were hidden by his right hand. His right hand hid these mysteries of redemption. Then he says, here's why it had to be shepherds. Jesus is God's right hand, we know. There's God portraying him exactly. He held the secrets of the Father and he showed them to us. Because the good thing in this is the right hand doesn't stay in the bosom. God commands Moses, take your right hand out. Amen. So the Christ comes from the bosom of the Father. Yes, yes. He's the right hand of God. And he comes bearing the mysteries of redemption that were sealed up in the heart of Jehovah. Yes. And he comes forth. And when the hand comes forth, the great mystery is, it's leprous. It's smitten with leprosy, the last stages of leprosy. So he goes on to explain it. He says, now watch him pull from his bosom his right hand, smitten with deadly leprosy, showed what God was going to do to his right hand. Oh, this is the smitten shepherd now. You see, the shepherd who's going to be bringing forth the mysteries of redemption, he's going to be smitten with our leprosy. He's going to be smitten with our deadly disease that we should have borne right the way to the regions of the lost. But God in this great mystery is going to show us what he does. He says, notice leprosy has no cure. It's like sin had no cure. You cannot cure your own sin. No person could heal themselves of leprosy. It needs God's grace. It needs redemption to rid somebody of leprosy. That sin and that weakness inside of your life that you're failing to overcome. Don't be like a leopard and think by licking at spots it's going to get rid of them. It just makes them brighter. It doesn't help you. You need redemption. You need his right hand. The man of his right hand, the great shepherd, the smitten shepherd. He's the only one that can rid you from your leprosy. From your sin, from your uncleanness. It's not religion that does it for you. There's no redemption in religion. There's no virtue in religion. Religion is a covering. Adam and Eve made their own religion. They covered themselves up with fig leaves. It had no redemption in it. There was no virtue in it to change their situation. There was no virtue in those fig leaves to bring them back to where they were before they sinned. It's going to take this mystery of his right hand coming forth from his bosom to bring redemption to us. It's the only way. It's the only way. So he pulls it out, smitten with leprosy. The prophet says, and it was in its last stage, white as snow. His hand was smitten with a horrible thing. There's lives here today, and your life is smitten with a horrible thing. It's called sin. It's called unbelief. It's called ungodliness. Ah, friends, it's a horrible thing, sin. It's a deceptive thing. You'll enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, but at the end of this life, you pay the price and the wages of sin is death. Spiritual separation, eternal separation from the presence of God. That's what sin will do to you. It's a horrible thing. Smitten with a horrible thing. He says, how Moses must have felt when he pulled his right hand out from over his heart, out of his bosom, and his hand was smitten with leprosy. Leprosy symbolizes sin, incurable, and especially in its last stages. Oh, friends, if it wasn't for the fact that the great shepherd has made a provision for leprosy, where would we be? Where would we be? He says, brethren, that's where the world was. when God pulled his right hand from his bosom, the world was smitten with deadly leprosy, no cure at all. But the secret that had been in God's bosom all these years, covered by his right hand, Jesus, the great shepherd took upon himself our guilt. Amen. Isaiah 53 verse 6. God has laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And when he smote him, yeah? And he shall see his seed. That's what it says. The prophet says, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. The secret of God's healing laid in the bosom of God.
Amen.
Oh. Notice, and it came quick. So when Jesus came and he was smitten with leprosy, he didn't stay like that for long. Because quickly Moses, once that hand was smitten with leprosy, the voice said, put it back in your bosom. And he put it back in his bosom. And Jesus, when he came to earth, he wasn't smitten for long. From Gethsemane, when he says, Father, let this cup pass. And then finally, thy will be done. And then he's smitten with our leprosy. He becomes leprous for us. Then he's led to the cross and he pays the price. Then he says, it's finished. It wasn't long. It wasn't long that hand was leprous, but it achieved a great purpose. He says, when the great shepherd was smitten, the great sheep prophet, yeah, when he was smitten back there, Jesus, he said, it's finished. And that minute, as soon as this shepherd was smitten, it was over. Sin is settled. There's no more sin. There's no more sin to the elect. The price has been paid. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. As Brother Evans was preaching, the devil can condemn this flesh. This flesh is condemned already. That is why flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Either this must go by the way of the grave, dust thou art, and to dust thou shalt return. Or this body must be changed in the moment and the twinkling of an eye to take on a form as to his glorious body. Because this cursed outer man who came from the dust and goes back to the dust, he cannot enter that realm. Because he's subject to sin, he's subject to decay, subject to sickness, subject to temptation, subject to all manner of evil. But the real you inside of there, you were represented in the right hand. When the right hand was smitten, you were smitten with him. He, the great shepherd, came for his sheep. It was finished. God's right hand was pulled from his bosom, smitten. Then on Easter, he returned it, raised it up again to his bosom. So Jesus now, he's smitten with leprosy. He dies. He goes down to the regions of the lost. Then what happens on Easter morning? The seal is broken. He comes out without sin. And the hand now is put back in the bosom. Goes back into the bosom of the Father. Ah, friends, but if it stayed like that, it wouldn't do us that much good. The prophet says, and then the hand was extended down to us to raise us up to where he is. Ah, friends, that's the mystery of redemption. But in the presence of the burning bush, and the amazing thing is that Moses was seeing this mystery of redemption in his own body. He was experiencing this mystery of redemption. He wasn't seeing it as something far off. It was something real and personal to him. And that's why the Lord allows us to get sick and he allows us to fall in different things so that we can experience this mystery of redemption ourselves. So we know it as a personal testimony that these things are real. I know that these things are true. So the prophet says the hidden secret of his heart, his great heart, was revealed by a prophet shepherd. It was revealed by a shepherd, the prophet shepherd. Ah, friends, and that's why the seals in this age, it couldn't have been Luther. It couldn't have been Wesley. It had to be a prophet shepherd. God had to send a prophet shepherd at Exodus time once again, and the burning bush had to come down, and the angel had to step out, and here had to start an Exodus move. And God, the great shepherd, was coming to get his sons and his daughters. And he says, my sheep, they know my voice. They hear my voice. A stranger they will not follow. You hear the voice of the shepherd. Now let's look at the next principle before we get on to the real point. We'll just go a little bit via Samaria here, but the prophet speaks about the scripture where Jesus says, I am the door to the sheepfold. Now that's a really important principle. I have a picture I didn't have time to put on a slide, but it shows a sheepfold, you know, with a hedge around it. And there's a gate, a door. But there's no door. There's nothing to open and close. It's just an opening in the hedge. And the sheep are inside of there. But the shepherd is lying down in the door. Because the shepherd himself is the door to the sheepfold. He brings his sheep into the sheepfold overnight, and then he lies down in the door. And the prophet says, I could never really understand that scripture, what it meant. He says, this is how he brings it up. He says, notice Job in the oldest book in the Bible. He was a righteous man, none on earth like him. And then he got into trouble. God turned Satan loose upon him. Did you notice how God had to do that first?
Amen. Yes.
Here, some time ago, he's going to explain it now. I was amazed in the eastern countries. I heard the scripture, John 5, where Jesus said, I am the door to the sheepfold. All just wondered how that could be, that Jesus, a man, could be a door. And I went to the east and I saw what it really was. How they did it. The shepherd has a fold. He drives his sheep in there. And after the sheep is in, he lays down in the door. Therefore, no sheep can go out and no wolf can come in unless it comes over the shepherd. Think how safely you are. Job, the devil couldn't come to him until the shepherd said, okay. And the shepherd stepped out of the door a little bit and allowed the wolf to come in. And it's the same with us, friends. And it's the same when you get yourself in temptation. It's the same when you get yourself in trouble. You stepped over the shepherd on the way out. You stepped over the anointed word. The word was lying in the doorway. There was the shepherd himself. And in order to go and get yourself in trouble, you have to step right over him and go out from where he's put you. That's why the prophet says you fight your way into hell. Because he's going to put flashing red lights across your path every stage of the journey. Until your heart gets so hard that you don't hear his voice anymore, then he gives you up to a reprobate mind. Because you refuse to hear the voice of the shepherd. But friends, it really shows. The prophet says, let me tell you that when God permits anything, it's working for your good. Because he's the door to the sheepfold.
Amen.
He's the great shepherd. He's the all-wise shepherd. So when he allows something to come in, he knows what he's doing. When he allows Hitler to come after the sheep, he knows what he's doing. When he allows Mussolini and Hitler and Stalin and all of them, he's driving the sheep back to the fold. So that he can reveal himself. I'm the smitten shepherd. You rejected me, but I'm the shepherd of Israel. So you can see it looks cruel to the natural man. The carnal man's going to say, but God doesn't know what he's doing. Just to show his foolishness. But to the spiritual man, to the person who comes into the presence of the burning bush and says, Lord, I don't understand what this smitten hand means. And you wait there in the presence of his redemptive revelation. And then he starts speaking to you and he starts to reveal the secrets that were veiled in his heart. Oh, friends, where else would you want to go? That's how when everybody else was leaving that time and Jesus said to Peter and them, don't you want to go? They said, where are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. Where are we ever going to find anything like this anywhere else? Friends, I don't understand everything in the message. The critics, they say this and say that about the prophet. I don't know. I'm not interested in really what they say. I just know one thing, that friends, this is a powerful message. This message has the power of transformation. You give this message an opportunity in your life, it'll make Jesus real, real to you. It'll make you love him like nothing else makes you love him. And that's proof enough to me. I might not explain all the prophet's visions. I might not explain the 10th vision. I might not explain Billy Paul being 80-something. I don't understand a lot of those things. But it doesn't mean anything to me. Because in all the rest of the things that are great pasture of this message where I've gone and the shepherds led me into this green pasture, it's mighty good eating for him. It really, really gets you close to the shepherd. And that's why I don't care about those other things. Those will take care of themselves. I just want to keep feeding on this green pasture. I just want to lay down in the by still waters because it gives you rest. Now, how do we benefit if he's this great shepherd and he has these great shepherd attributes? Surely you and I really want to benefit from them. Especially in this age. These are perilous times. We see all this evil. We see all this confusion. We see in the religious world there's just confusion going on. How can we make sure that we benefit properly from these great attributes of the shepherd? The first thing, it depends on our attitude.
Yes. Amen.
It depends on our attitude.
Amen.
If we can just maintain our sheep attitude, that's the key in this.
Amen.
No matter how much God blesses you, just remember you are sheep. No matter what position God puts you in, remember that you are sheep. Look back at the great shepherd, Jesus, the smitten shepherd. I mean, he was given a name above every other name. He's the greatest that was ever born, the greatest that ever lived, but he never forgot that he was a sheep. He never forgot all the days of his life that he was a lamb. And that was the secret to his 100% success. Because he never forgot that he was a lamb. He never forgot that I need to submit myself unto the spirit of the great shepherd himself. He's the one who makes the decisions. He's the one who does the leading. He's the one who guides me. He has the rod. He has the staff. He has everything I need in his scrip bag. No, he knows where the good pastures are. He knows exactly what needs to be done. And that was the key there. Is Jesus always manifest his lamb attributes. Right unto the end. Right when he had to go and be smitten with leprosy for us. Which was an unthinkable thing. To be separated from the great shepherd. To die. Yeah? Separate. Out of the presence of God. But he maintained the attitude of a sheep.
Amen.
Nevertheless. Not my will, but thy will be done. And then he submitted himself. Made himself subject unto death. Even the death of the cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him. And given him a name above every other name. So we've got to make sure we stay a sheep. King Uzziah forgot that he was a sheep. When King Uzziah sat under the prophet and stayed in his position as a king, God blessed him. As long as those attributes of kingship were kept in the right boundaries and parameters,
amen,
God blessed him. But the moment King Uzziah thought he could be the shepherd, the moment he thought, I can do it myself, I don't need leadership, friends, that's when we get ourselves in a lot of trouble.
Amen.
We've got to keep ourselves in that place. And that applies to both shepherds and sheep. Because we have sheep attributes and we have shepherd attributes, like I'm saying. Each of us have both of that inside of ourselves. So, you might be a mother shepherd, you might be a brother shepherd, you might be a sister shepherd, a father shepherd, whatever that it is. But don't forget, you're still a sheep.
Amen.
Don't forget, in all that you do to try to help somebody else, you stay in your position. You stay as a sheep. You make sure your sheep attributes, you keep them in tune. So that he can lead you to do his work the way that he wants the work to be done. So there's these different levels. Now, a key here as well. Okay, we'll see it now in this. Now, let's look at one example. We'll look at a shepherd mother. Because friends, we really need shepherd mothers.
Amen.
There's a big difference between a mother and a shepherd mother.
Amen.
A shepherd mother is someone who communes with the spirit of the great shepherd.
Yes.
And then she goes now with that to feed her sheep, her flock, her children. She looks after her children. A shepherd father is different than just a normal father. The world is full of fathers, friends. And that's why there's more than 50% divorce rate and most people don't even get married anymore. No, we don't want that. We only have one chance at this. We don't have another chance in this life. So if God grants us grace and puts us under this great shepherd prophet move in our age, we want to make sure that everything we do as far as we possibly can is done under the guidance of this great shepherd prophet.
Amen.
Under the great shepherd himself, keeping ourselves in that position. Now, this woman in Memphis, this colored lady, she was a shepherd mother. You'll see that. The prophet, he speaks about it in a greater witness than John. And he speaks of, we know how the aeroplane came down and how he was led from the Peabody Hotel. And he went in and stood outside a bank and the voice said to him, turn around. And the prophet now, although he was a prophet shepherd, but he showed his sheep attributes first.
Amen.
Before he could be a shepherd to this woman, he had to be a sheep first.
Amen.
Under the leadership of the great shepherd.
Amen.
If he hadn't have been a sheep first to follow it, without asking questions, without kicking, making a fuss, the aeroplane's about to depart, and the voice says, go down the other way. And the prophet walks right past the hotel again. And right out in the colored air and says, where am I going? He says, well, I'll just keep following. And the prophet's singing, one of them, one of them. The prophet's not really worried about where he's going. And that was one of the great attributes. And he comes now to this woman standing in the door, but standing in the gate. And you know the story. And she said, she explains to Brother Branham. She says, you know, I was like the Shunammite woman. And I said, where's your Elijah? God gave me a son and he went astray. You know, I tried to raise him. I promised I was going to raise him up for the Lord, but he went astray. And so she said, I just couldn't stand to see my baby die in that condition. Knowing that I had promised the Lord to raise him to serve the Lord. Now that's something we need to remember as shepherd mothers. Amen. That we have a sacred trust, a sacred responsibility. Amen. Not just to raise them up to know the ABCs. But you've got to keep that attribute before you all the time. That your great responsibility is to raise them up to serve the Lord. Ah, friends, that's a great, great thing entrusted to a mother. That those children, it's your responsibility that you get yourself anointed with the attributes of motherhood God has put inside of you so that you can raise them up to serve the Lord. Amen. You may teach them manners, teach them morals, all the other things are good. But if you fail on this one, we've failed on the most important. Amen. And we've got to keep it before us. That is your primary objective as a mother, to raise them up to serve the Lord. Amen. And that's going to need you to have fellowship with the great shepherd. Amen. Because you're not going to know how to handle situations many times. You're going to come to the end of your patience. You're going to come to the end of your fuse. Some people quicker than others. But every single person comes to that. And you're going to need the great shepherd to help you. Amen. And this mother, she had promised, I'm going to raise him to serve the Lord. And then he went astray. Now, she had done all that she could do. Amen. It was a difficult situation. Where was the father? I don't know, maybe he died when the boy was young. You never hear about the father of this. But it got to a situation, this boy went astray. Although this was a godly home, although Jesus was the door to this home, she wouldn't allow sin in the house. She wouldn't. In order for this young man to go astray, he had to go behind his mother's back. He had to go over Jesus in the door. Yeah? He had to go out there like the prodigal son, over a righteous life, over the prayers of his mother and his father, the prodigal son, to go and do the things that he did. Now, that's a real balance to keep. Now, to try to keep that door, Jesus in the door. Because sometimes we want to be dictators to our children. Now, sometimes we're too lenient, we allow too much to come in. Sometimes we don't allow enough to come in. You know, there's like that balance. You know, we were speaking with some saints the other day. I was saying that we've been acquainted with two different families of Christians, both ministers, and they've done very well from different parts of the world. And the one family, that brother never let his children play computer games. Never let them do anything like it. He was very strict. Even when his children would go and visit other friends, he would follow them up and make sure they weren't doing the things behind his back. And he raised up his sons, four of them, I think, and all of them serve the Lord. And some of them are helping him in the ministry. Then on the other side, we know another family, another minister, and he allowed his children to play lots of computer games. And he would sit and he would watch certain things with them. You know, he had some of the new film, not sinful things, but he would do a lot of things with them. And he has children, all of his children have grown up and are serving the Lord, and some of them are helping him in the ministry. And I learned from that, that you can't make somebody else your standard. Amen. That every family is different. Every family is unique. Every family needs the leadership of the great shepherd for the whatever situation is going on in that family. Amen. Every family is peculiar. Every family has different needs. So you can't make your standard somebody else's standard. You can't say, I don't allow that in my house. How can you allow it? No, you never know. I learned it from there. You'll be surprised because some of the people that want to be too strict see how their children rebel. You see, I've seen it. You know, we've had a lot of experience recently, people passing by our house, you know, from other places, and they've thrown away the message. They've thrown away the kingdom of God just about because their parents were too strict on them. When they got into those teenage years, those years, instead of maybe the parents seeking more the leadership of the great shepherd to say, like the prophet did with Sister Rebecca, and said to Sister Meda, no, be careful here. You can push her away into the arms of somebody else. You know, be careful. This is a sensitive time. And at that time, if we're not very careful, friends, we can do more harm than good. And I really learned from those two examples myself. I said, Lord, That's why you, in the message, the prophet never comes and gives you a manual of how to raise your family. He doesn't. Because it needs the individual leadership of the Spirit. That needs the prophet, the shepherd father and the shepherd mother. You know, and sometimes you're going to get it too extreme this side. Sometimes you're going to get it not extreme enough. But if you're really seeking Him and you're sincere, He is going to show you the right balance. And He's going to show it to you for your family exactly what you should allow and what you shouldn't allow. Because you want Him to be the door to the sheepfold. But it's just sometimes that balance. Now, obviously, not saying any sin. Nobody would ever let any sin come in. But it's just trying to keep that balance. Now, so she comes to the stage now. This boy, he goes out and he gets among the wrong crowd. You can only go as far as you can as a shepherd mother. You can only go as far as you can as a shepherd father. But in the end, it's free moral agency. You apply the token. You pray. You live a godly life. You do everything that you can. And this was a real shepherd mother. To prove it, God brought an aeroplane down from the skies and brought His prophet shepherd to the age, to her house. She wasn't a make-believer. She was a real believer. She had tried her best. But with the best that she had done, she couldn't keep this man from worldly influence.
Amen.
She couldn't keep him in the house all the time. When he's a 19-year-old, 20-year-old, and say, you can't go anywhere. She didn't do that. He had to go and go to college and do his things. And then he got among the wrong crowd.
Amen.
And then he got involved in things he shouldn't have got involved in, and he got leprosy.
Yes.
He got a venereal disease. Yeah? Syphilis. And it ate now the valves in his heart. And now he was condemned to die. And the doctor says, there's nothing more medical science can do. Take him home, he'll die. And the mother tries everything that she can. And the way the prophet expresses it, he says she was a real mother. No matter what this young man had done, no matter the disgrace he had brought upon her home and the family, he was still her son, her baby. Oh, friends. That's the spirit of the seeking shepherd. There's times the shepherd's got to take the whip and he's got to whip out the temple, yeah, to those who know better. That there's times that he's got to be the seeking shepherd. There's times he's got to weep over Jerusalem. There's times he's got to express that those kind of attributes as well. So she gets to the stage now and she prays all night because he's unconscious now for 2 days. He's not talking anymore. Imagine he's so far beyond the realm of mortal help. But he wasn't beyond the help of the great shepherd.
Yes. Amen.
Friends, while there's breath, there's hope.
Yes.
While there's breath, there's hope.
Yes.
He couldn't talk. He couldn't even speak. He couldn't hear anymore. But he wasn't beyond the help of the great shepherd.
Amen.
My, sometimes we give up on people so quickly. But God doesn't.
Amen.
This young man, everybody else, they're already planning his funeral, I'm sure. And God says, I haven't given up on this young man yet. Oh, that's the attributes of the great shepherd. And she says, I prayed all night last night. And I said, Lord, what can I do now? Now that's the right attitude.
Amen.
You've done everything that you can. Now you need to go to a higher level.
Yes.
You see, as a shepherd mother, she did everything a shepherd mother could do. You know, she had to wash over the washboard. She couldn't be with him all the time. She had to labor and struggle to put him through school, to clothe him, to put food on the table. It wasn't an easy life. But she did all that she could do. And now she came to the stage, she realized there's nothing more I can do. So what did she do? She took it higher. She took it to the great shepherd. And we need to learn that balance, friends. No, we help people up to a certain stage. Now, you can help your brother, help your sister, but there's certain things you know inside of yourself. This needs to go higher.
Yes.
I don't need to get myself. This is it. This is not my turf. This is not my territory. You need to refer it up higher. And the deacon will then know his parameters. And the pastor knows his parameters. And we've got to take it up higher. Friends, never let it be our own understanding. You know, we had a prophet shepherd. We had the great shepherd coming down in the pillar of fire and communicating with the prophet shepherd. to give us a message, yeah? To shepherd us through right to the end of the age. Everything we need is there. If we can just allow our sheep attributes, at those times when you get to the stage that you've done all you can do, it's time to take it higher now. It's time to do like she did and say, Lord, what do I do now? But it's incredible sometimes how stubborn our human nature is that we won't admit defeat sometimes. We'll just want to say, no, I know what I'm doing. Nobody needs to tell me what to do. And then you find your family scatters and all the problems you have in your home and so forth, and yet you thought you were so wise. Oh, friends, it shouldn't be like that. We need to have the right attitude to know our limitations, to know our own boundaries and parameters as fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. You know, we've got to know our parameters, friends. We've got to be careful that we don't overstep those bounds like King Uzziah did. We've got to be careful. So she admitted now that there's nothing more that she could do. Now, you think of the prodigal son. That was the point where redemption came in.
Yes. Amen.
Until he came to that point where he admitted, I am a failure. I failed. I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against my Father. Oh, friends. That's grace.
Amen.
That is grace. It's not easy for someone to do that. Normally people, they want to play the blame game. Yeah, I did wrong, but it's because of him and she did that and this happened in church and they didn't do this for me. That's got nothing to do with it. That's just this carnal flesh that needs to perish and will perish one day. But inside of your soul, if you'll bring those sheep attributes back into the presence of the great shepherd and let him go speaking to you about your situation, and you will humble yourself and he will show you this is where you went wrong. This is where you failed. You were stubborn. You were hard-headed. You thought you knew better, but you didn't know. You should have come to me. And then you submit yourself and you say, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against God. This is my own foolishness that got me in this situation. This is my own stubbornness, my own conceit, my own self-confidence that put me in this situation. And friends, once that act of will, that something changes in your heart, watch how the attributes of the shepherd will minister everything that you need to redeem that situation. But that's what it needs. But sometimes God has to bring us to the point of extremity. Because sometimes we have such hard heads. Such strong nature sometimes. I mean, don't admit that this is beyond me now. Yeah, I need help here. Oh, friends, it's hard. Now, I'll just go via Samaria here with the prophet. Because you will say, hey, that's hard to say. But that's what the prophet says. Listen what he says about himself in a guide. When he got lost in the wilderness. He says, well... He says, you know what I was on? The Indians call it the death walk. See, you're walking in a circle round and around. You see, you get to a stage in your Christian experience. You get to a stage in your family. You get to a stage in your Christian walk, whatever. That you're putting effort, you're putting effort, you're putting effort, but you keep coming back to the same situation. Surely at some stage you've got to realize just going around another time is not going to make any difference. But the prophet is on the death walk. You're walking in a circle. He says, well, I thought I was too good a guide to ever be lost. You see, the prophet, he was a shepherd to the age. But in hunting now, he forgot, I need to be a sheep. And the moment now you think you don't need to be a sheep in an aspect of your life, you're going to have trouble on your way. He thought, I'm too good a guide to be lost. I don't need anybody to lead me. My, see, nothing had to tell me in the woods. I blew my way around, see? And I started off again. And I said, I can't make this mistake. And I came back again. And this is the grace of God to every single one of us. Because this is dangerous when you get in this situation. Because it's not only going to affect the prophet, it's going to affect his family up in the camp as well. That until he can get himself back under submission and allow the sheep attributes to kick in, so that the shepherd attributes can kick in as well into his situation, his whole family is in danger. Not only him. There's Sister Mida and there's Billy Paul, 2-3 years old up in the camp. It's going to get to minus 10, the prophet says, that night. They've never slept in the woods before. They need their father shepherd with them.
Amen.
But the father shepherd's forgotten that he's a sheep. And until he gets back into the gear of being a sheep, the great shepherd's not going to be able to do much for him. Though the great shepherd has all of the answers, has all of the attributes of everything that he needs to overcome that situation. The great, God knew the way.
Amen.
God knew exactly the way. God could have shown him the way 1 minute into his problem. But the prophet said, the Lord allowed it to happen to teach us. Because many times we get like that as well, in our sincerity. He says, I moved up the canyon. It had done started blowing. Oh, snow everywhere. And I knew that Mida would die that night in the wilderness. She didn't know how to take care of herself. And Billy, just about 4 years old, 3 years old, just a little bitty thing. And I thought, what will they do? And I hit a moss bed. And I thought, I'm in a flat somewhere. I can't see nothing. It's all foggy. That happens spiritually, friends.
Amen.
Does it not happen? You get foggy. Yeah, you can't see anything anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, you don't know where you're supposed to be going. You know, this isn't the way that things are supposed to be. You know, this can lead into danger. This can lead to sorrow, but it's foggy. I don't know what to do. And I kept hearing something saying, I'm a very present help in a time of trouble.
Amen.
So the word was speaking to him. The shepherd was trying to get his attention to say, my friend, hey, 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 I'm the shepherd, you the sheep. Oh, friend, sometimes trying to get our attention. But the prophet says, I just kept walking on. And I thought, now, I know I'm getting a little bit off now. I'm hearing a voice talk to me. And it went, you know, the wind. Said, now I'm not lost. I know where I'm at. Boy, what's the matter with you? You can't get lost. You're too good a hunter. You can't get lost. You know, sometimes the way God works, sometimes the solution is so simple. You know, the disciples in Luke chapter 5, they were in the boat. And they toiled all night, yeah? They kept throwing the net in and nothing would come out. And they kept throwing the net in and nothing would come out. And then finally, the good shepherd came to them. And it was so simple. But when now his presence came, and he spoke to them, and he said, throw it in on the other side. Now, if you watch Jesus of Nazareth and that, it was too simple. Peter says, we've been fishing all night. He wants us to throw it in on the other side. You see the reasoning kick in? And then John and them, they quickly says, well, if he said it, let's do it. What harm is he doing? And they threw it the other side. And it was the solution to all that they'd been seeking the whole night. You see, sometimes, friends, if you're toiling and toiling and toiling, call a halt.
Amen.
Call a halt. If you keep putting in the net and nothing's coming out, you keep putting in the effort and you keep coming back to the same spot, you need the great shepherd.
Amen.
You need to become a sheep once again. You need the shepherd to speak into your experience. Because
yes.
He has the answer.
Yes.
He knows how to take you through that junction in time. So he says, I kept moving on. Oh, I'm not lost. I'll be all right. I'll find my way out. And things began to look funny. The winds close and snow began to flying, spitting down. I thought, my wife and my baby. And I thought, well, what can I do? And I stopped. And I looked everywhere. And there was a fog already down now. That was it. Nothing could be done then. There was no hope. How was he going to find his way? Then I thought, what can I do? What can I do? And it kept getting closer. I'm a very present help in a time of trouble. A very present help. And I thought, is that God talking to me? That's what makes all the difference.
Amen.
When you recognize the voice of the shepherd.
Amen.
Ah, friends, you can search this. You can try that. You know, it's like if you want to You know, if you're seeking for an inspiration on something, it's like if you're trying to preach many times. Now you go and search this and you search it. Like the prophet said, I read this and I read that. He said, but then when I got still, then he came to me. Amen. And he revealed it to me. Now there's got to come that like stopping point where it's okay, I'm calling a pause here. Sometimes it needs you to fast. To call a complete halt inside of your life. To humble yourself before the Lord. To just become a sheep once again. To show your dependence and your need upon Him in that situation. Otherwise you can keep going round and around on this death walk. And I thought, is that God talking to me? And I took off my hat. Now He's respecting, yeah? And I said, Lord, I'm going to admit to you that I ain't no hunter. I can't find my way around. You have to help me. I'm not fit to live. And doing the things that I've done, coming in here and thinking I'd know too much about it to ever get lost, I need you, Lord. Ah, friends, it'll never fail.
Amen.
Because now all of a sudden the deep that was in the prophet, there was something wanting to express itself, this uneasiness, this something that, you know, something's not right. It's because there's a deep in the great shepherd.
Amen.
Because of these great shepherd attributes that were wanting now to express themselves at that time. And the moment the prophet now came the right way and says, Lord, I need you to do it for me. Ah, friends, that opens it up.
Amen.
It's like a rich, that prodigal son. The moment he resolved in himself to say, I will arise. And I'll go to my father's house.
Amen.
And I'll say to my father, surely he has the answer. Now all that I need is in my father's house. Why am I with the pigs here? Why am I trying to beat my head, trying to find a solution to something? There's no solution here. The solution's in my father's house. My. And all he needed to do, one thing that young man needed, in order for his shepherd father to give him everything he needed and more beyond, was to become a sheep again.
Amen.
That's all he needed. Amen. The moment that young man became a sheep, his father couldn't contain himself.
Amen.
He came running, an old man came running to his son.
Amen.
And he's trying to say to his father, Father, I'm not worthy. He says, no. Bring the best robe and put it on my son. Put the shoes on his feet. Put the ring on his finger. Kill the fatted calf. Oh, friends, that's how it is with God. He so much wants to express himself. But we need to be sheep. Never forget that we're sheep. We're the sheep of his pasture. Sheep don't know their way around. Sheep have no sense of direction. Sheep have no way of protecting themselves. We need Him every step of the way. Never, no matter how much He blesses you, no matter how much He raises you up in His kingdom, just realize you need to stay as a sheep. The moment you stop being a sheep, you're going to invite trouble. And it's not only going to trouble you, it's going to trouble those that are around you that you're supposed to shepherd. We need to remain as sheep. Friends, that's the key. The prophet was a sheep. Right to the end of his ministry, look at the prophet, how humble he was.
Amen.
How dependent he was on the great shepherd himself.
Amen.
For leadership and guidance. He couldn't do anything himself without the great shepherd. That was the great secret that he had. He says, I'm lost, God. I can't find my way around. Won't you please help me? And forgive me for my own self-centered way. I can't do nothing without you. You're my guide.
Amen.
Ah, friends, that's all the heavens are waiting for.
Amen.
Was that change within the veil. And once that something broke within the veil, ah, friends, you weren't going to. Heavens and earth couldn't stop help coming to help the prophet.
Amen.
That's where there was going to be. So the prophet says, and I got up and I picked up my handkerchief. I said, amen. And I said, I started walking this way. I said, this is it. I'm going to have to make myself believe I'm going this way. And if I had have, I would have headed over into Canada. You see? And the prophet says, the best of my hunting ability would have led me into Canada. But what happened? There was the great shepherd. And he put his hand on his shoulder. Sometimes we need that hand, friends. In a real way like that. He didn't just need to psych himself up. So, look, I prayed now I'm going to do my best. No, no, he was in a situation, a mistake here was going to be fatal. So he needed to stay there. He needed a hand to come and show him clearly, this is the way. And when he turned around, he says there was nobody there that he could see. And the wind had cleared all the way to Hurricane Mountain, the clouds. The wind had blown through, and now he could see exactly what he needed to see. That was a miracle, friends. To roll back those clouds for those miles and miles until he could see now the mast on the top of Hurricane Mountain. That was the shepherd now. The shepherd would stop at nothing now to lead his sheep, to protect his sheep. So he puts his hand, and the prophet says, now how he says, and right back this way, the fog just cleared back till I could see the tower on the top of Hurricane Mountain. Going straight away from it, the best of my hunting ability, I was going away from it, getting real late in the evening then. Friends, it's real late in the evening now. We don't want to be putting chance in these things. We're not going to get another chance at these things. We've already had a prophet shepherd come to us. All we need is there. And friends, where do all the problems come in the message? Let's be honest. It's when the shepherds forget their sheep. Yeah. It's when the shepherds, they raise up, they start a great work. God moves and uses them. Then they forget that they're sheep. And the moment you forget that you're a sheep, the shepherd's not going to lead you anymore. And you're going to bring your family into the wilderness with you. And that's happened. Oh, friends, we need to stay a sheep. No matter how much God has blessed you, no matter how much is revealed, no matter what is done inside of your life, remember who you are and remember who He is.
Amen.
And keep yourself in that place. That's the place of safety. So the prophet now, he gets led back by the lion to Hurricane Mountain. Now, let's bring it back to the shepherd mother once again. That's just to show, friends, how easy we as believers. Imagine the prophet got in that situation. What about us?
Amen.
That he got so self-confident in what he was doing. Because he had done it so many times before. Friends, it doesn't matter how many times you've done something spiritual before. Every time you need his leadership.
Amen.
If it ever gets to the stage, you say, look, hey, you know, we preach twice a week. Brother Max preaches twice. I preach twice. How well, you know, every time.
Amen.
Every time you fear.
Amen.
Every time you'll be nervous from the day before because you don't want to come and waste people's time.
Amen.
You don't want to come and say things that you think should be said, but he doesn't want them said.
Amen.
And that's the great thing. That's why I really understand that the prophet says, you know, anybody who's got a ministry, they want to run away from it because it's a serious thing.
Amen.
You can't just go on holiday and just have a good time like everybody else because you know, hey, Friday's coming again, I've got to be in service. You know, Sunday's coming again or somebody needs help, somebody needs prayer. Ah, oh, friends, you need Him. You know, I need to be in fellowship with Him. And the moment now you start getting out of fellowship with Him, the world starts falling apart because you realize without Him, I can do nothing. And friends, that's the way that it always needs to be. That's how the prophet says, anybody with a ministry, the musicians, wait on your ministry. Everybody needs to wait on their ministry. Just because God blessed a certain song last week doesn't mean He's going to bless it this week. This is another situation. This is different circumstances. He knows what He wants done now. So we need Him to help us now. Last week's, yesterday's manna was fine, but we need today's manna today. We need Him each step of the way. Oh, friends, we need Him. We really need. And that's why I like Brother Will said about that one, about how easy it is to backslide in an office, a spiritual office. Because you get so used to doing something. Oh, friends, we need to be careful. We need to pray for one another. Because it's so easy to do that. That you've done it so many times before that you think I'll just do it like that again. And like Samson, one day the time will come, you realize, but he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. And then he was left on his own and it taught him a very good lesson. Don't presume. Don't take it for granted.
Amen.
We need Him. We need Him in a real way. Each step of the way. So this, we'll finish with the shepherd mother here. She realized now that she needed a higher level. Yeah. So she goes and she prays. And then she falls asleep. And now watch the spirit of the great shepherd come. The great shepherd comes and speaks to her and shows her a man in the dream. The prophet shepherd to the age. I find that so amazing. My, shows her the prophet. She's never seen the prophet before. She said, you know, when my baby got to be a man, said he's a big boy, he got out with the wrong company, parson. Said he took a horrible disease. Says, and I didn't know it. And I've been standing here since 3 o'clock waiting for you. Well, I went over there. That poor old thing was still wet on her back from out where she had been standing there. Now, this is grace, friends. But every single time, here's a sheep, yeah? A genuine sheep. She's a shepherd mother, but she's a sheep. And she knows she's a sheep. And she knows she needs grace. She needs the spirit of the great shepherd to come into her situation. So she prays. She said, I almost prayed all night. She seeks wisdom from above. She knows, I need grace to intervene here. And grace comes down. And at the same time, God starts changing the heavens.
Amen.
God starts changing the weather patterns of the heavens. Can you see a genuine bleating of a sheep?
Amen.
Will bring him on the scene every time.
Amen.
He can't fail. That's his attributes. But you just need to bleat like a sheep once again.
Amen.
Remember Georgie Carter, when the prophet, he had that vision and he saw a little lamb caught in a thicket and it was bleating. And then in the end it went bleating and was saying, Milltown, Milltown. And he went up to Milltown not knowing exactly what it was. But God had a bleating lamb and took the prophet to that place, had a revival meeting, did all those things because of one bleating lamb.
Amen.
God brought the shepherd prophet to the bleating lamb.
Amen.
Oh, now look in your own experience. You were a bleating lamb. You were stuck in a denomination. You were stuck in your sin, stuck in the world, stuck in whatever dead end root that you're in inside of your life. And something inside of you, the deep in him, started to call to the deep in you.
Amen.
And there was something inside of you that started to bleat. And because you his sheep, the shepherd came to you. And he came in a variety of ways. He comes in a multitude of ways. No two people the same. But he came to you as the seeking shepherd. And he came and that anointing of the shepherd came and ministered directly into your situation. And took you from where you were to where you are now. Oh, that's grace, friends. That's grace. Aren't you glad you know this shepherd? Oh, friends, I'm glad that I know him. The only thing that I want is I want to know him better. I just want to know him better. That's my desire. So she needed this now. Now, and she said to the prophet, won't you come in? I always like it, like the man on the way to Emmaus. Jesus made as if he was going to pass by. But they constrained him.
Amen.
And said, come in.
Yeah.
We need to do that, friends.
Amen.
You know, when you know the Lord is dealing with you and he's speaking to your soul, don't just go out and get involved in your normal things again. Get on your knees and invite him in. Shut yourself in with him. Let the work that is begun continue in the closet. Continue in your own prayer time. Continue in your time when you spend in his presence. It is, if you don't do that, he'll just pass on by. And you'll say, now that was good fellowship there, but it'll never bring the lasting change. Those on the way to Mass would never have come back to Jerusalem. They'd given up on the whole thing. They weren't going back into the message anymore. Now, things didn't work the way that they thought they should work, and they were heading away from Jerusalem to Emmaus. And then when now he started to speak and their hearts started to burn within them, there were certain attributes. They realized that he knows what he's speaking about. He speaks like no one else has ever spoken before. He seems to have the answer to the situation. We were confused. We were saddened about this. But there's something about this atmosphere. There's something about this fellowship that hope is kindling in me once again. Light is starting to shine in the darkness once again. Oh, friends, in those seasons of visitation, use those seasons. Like I said, get every drop of spiritual virtue that you can out of that visitation, because you may not have another visitation like that for a season. Because it's not always the presence of God isn't always present to heal in that kind of a way.
Amen.
You know, so when he's dealing with you like that, when you realize, but hey, there's hope.
Something is moving in me. My situation can change. Stay with him. Until you feel a hand on your shoulder, showing you the way back to Hurricane Mountain. Until the way out of your situation is clear. And you know exactly what it is that needs to be done. Stay with it. And like I said, there's different levels of shepherding. You can fellowship with a brother. And God can send that anointing on the brother. And that brother can minister into your experience. And he can shepherd you, can guide you according to his experience through that little portion of whatever you're going through. Then maybe it's a higher level. So maybe you take it to the deacons, take it to the ministers of the church. Take it higher, friends.
Amen.
There's different levels of shepherding, but God will shepherd you.
Amen.
Now there's shepherd sisters, shepherd brothers, shepherd mothers, shepherd fathers, shepherd deacons, shepherd ministers. You know, God has this capability in the body to shepherd. And each person, they can push you up to a certain level. But at this stage now, this woman, the only thing that could help her and her son was the prophet shepherd of the age.
Amen.
I'm sure she had been to her denominational pastor. She had been to her local shepherd because she was a faithful. She must have gone. And I'm sure that he did his best and he came and he anointed him with oil and prayed for him and whatever else needed to be done. But it needed a higher level.
Amen.
And friends, in this age we're living, it needed a higher level.
Amen.
We didn't just need reformation. We didn't just need the great awakening in the days of Wesley. We didn't just need Azusa Street. We needed a higher level.
Amen.
For us to navigate safely through this danger, spiritual death and danger that's in the land. Friends, we need that anointing that came on the prophet shepherd.
Amen.
And God sent us the highest level that he can. A prophet shepherd to guide his flock. Oh, friends, we should really appreciate the Lord for what he's done.
Amen.
And some of us need to get some of those books off the bookshelf and get the dust off them.
Amen.
And go and dig once again in the spirit of a sheep, into the sheep food, and see how the spirit of the great shepherd will start to grant you the grace that you need in your situation. No need to get there. Let's finish off. She said, "Won't you come in?" And when she opened up the gate, little chain hanging to it. And I walked into that little colored person's house that morning. There was no rug on the floor, just a little old iron bedshed. But I tell you, if ever I walked into the presence of God. Oh. Friends, she had the great shepherd in her house. But this is, we'll get on to another time about gifts. The anointing needs a voice. You see, she had the anointing in her house. But she needed the prophet shepherd to come in with that specific gift.
Amen.
So that anointing that she had already in her house could come and quicken that gift inside of the prophet shepherd to minister deliverance now to her son.
Amen.
Just as much as Israel needed the gift inside of the prophet shepherd. Yeah? To come and minister deliverance to them. It didn't mean God wasn't with them.
Amen.
And that's why you need evangelists, you need pastors, you need teachers, you need all manner of ministry. Because the anointing has a different way of speaking through the different gifts.
Amen.
You know, so she had this great presence of God in her house. It's amazing how God works, but he never healed the boy. He had to bring the shepherd prophet from an aeroplane.
Amen.
Bring him down unexpectedly through a storm. Guide him supernaturally down into the colored district of town. Bring him right to that house to minister deliverance. Friends, there's something about gifts.
Amen.
There's something about gifts. That's a powerful thing if you think about it. What God did there. He says, but I tell you, if ever I walked into the presence of God, I did there. There wasn't no pinups on the wall. There was a little picture hanging over the door that said, God bless our home. You can see that Jesus was the door to that house. No nonsense was coming in. Yeah. There was no pictures on the wall that shouldn't have been there. You know, of the fallen stars of the age and all that kind of stuff. Jesus was the door to that house. And the spirit of the great shepherd was dwelling in that house. There weren't no pinups. God bless our home. It was clean. And she said, Parson, he don't know nothing. He hasn't known nothing for 2 days. Said all he talks about, he says he's out in a big deep sea. And it's all dark. And he's lost. And she started crying. And she said, if I could only hear him say that he was saved, I'd be willing to give him up. Ah, friends. Amen. He was beyond mortal help. He was in a realm between time and eternity. He was in a darkness. He was drifting. He was a soul that didn't yet know the shepherd. But he was predestined to know the shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, look how far. And the devil thought he had won. He thought, I've got him. But never underestimate the attributes of the great shepherd.
Amen.
Oh, never underestimate the great shepherd, friends. And I said, will you pray with me? And she said, yes, sir. And when we knelt down there that morning in that little old humble home, I've been in four kings' palaces praying for them. King George of England, Gustav, and so forth. I've been in some of the best homes there is in the nation. But I was never any more welcome than I was in that little shanty that morning. She made me welcome.
Amen.
That's a key, friends. How welcome is this message in your home?
Amen.
How welcome is the chief shepherd? Friends, if you don't want the prophet shepherd and his message in your home, I wonder, how are you going to make it through to the end of this age?
Amen.
I wonder, how are you going to do it? God's provided way. Ah, friends, but she made him welcome.
Amen.
So I knelt down on the floor and I looked over and I said, Auntie, would you lead in prayer? And she said, yes, Parson. And a prayer that would make the hair stand on the back of your neck to hear that poor old sainted woman, those big black cheeks and the tears running down, how she pleaded out to God.
Amen.
That was the bleating of a sheep.
Amen.
It didn't start then, and it started before. That brought the shepherd on the scene.
Amen.
It was the bleating of a sheep. And she said, God, don't let my baby die. Let me hear him say one time that he's saved, and I, his mammy, will be satisfied. And so I knelt down. I laid my hands on the boy's feet. And I said, I'll pray now, Auntie. And I said, Heavenly Father, here it is after 9 o'clock. The plane's done gone. And I don't know. You told me to come down here. And the only thing I knew to do was to walk. If this is the place that you've sent me, I pray you'll hear the prayer and will answer for this poor woman.
Amen.
Can you see a sheep? He doesn't even know why he's there. You know, he doesn't even know. He's just followed this leadership and has brought him to this house. And you know what? He began to go, Mammy. Oh, Mammy. It's getting light in the room. Whenever you become like a sheep, watch how he brings light.
Amen.
Whenever you become like a sheep, it's not going to be dark in your experience anymore. He's going to bring light. Because there's a man here that can turn on the light. And all he's waiting for us to do is to call him on the scene by bleating as sheep to the great shepherd. And the great shepherd comes on the scene, and whenever he comes on the scene, like on the way to Emmaus, there's light in the darkness. There's the power of transformation that's ministered at that time. And it started to get light. He said, it's getting light in the room. And in about 5 minutes from then, he was sitting on the bed talking to us. And I hurried out, called me out to a cab, got back to the hotel. And you know what? I rushed over to the airport real quick. The plane was just making its first call. God, for that poor, illiterate, colored woman, grounded that plane and held it there until her prayer was answered. Oh, friends. And he's the same great shepherd now. He hasn't changed. He wants to do the same for you, and he wants to do the same for me. He's just wanting us to be real sheep once again. He's just wanting us to come before him and bleat like sheep and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And if he's my shepherd, why am I wanting the way that I want? Why am I not lying down in pastures green? Why am I not lying down by still waters? Because he's not yet fully in the position that he wants to be. So let's come to a time of prayer, friends.
Amen.
And you bleat to the shepherd. You bleat. You call him on the scene. And we know the end of the story. The prophet traveling through on the train a while later. He stops at Memphis. Goes off to get some hamburgers because they're much cheaper off the train. And he hears someone saying, Parson Branham, Parson Branham. And he looks and there's a colored boy. And he says, Parson Branham, don't you recognize me? He says, no, I don't. He says, I'm that young boy. He not only healed me, but I is now serving the Lord. The sheep was safely back in the fold. Oh, friends, it doesn't matter how far it seems. He's not going to lose one of his sheep. If he has to move heaven and earth, he's going to come to where you are. And all you got to be a sheep and let the shepherd take you on his great strong shoulders. And he'll lead you back to the sheepfold. Let's stand. Let's come to a time of prayer. Amen. Amen. Let's bow our heads, friends. You know where you are as a believer today. You know your situation. Maybe you're in a privileged position and all is well. And the Lord's leading you and everything's clear. There's light in your experience. You know exactly the next stage of your path. Praise the Lord for that. Amen. Give Him thanks. But if you're not in that situation, like the majority of us wouldn't be, and you're looking for guidance upon this day, all you've got to do is search yourself first. Search your attitude. Are you self-sufficient? Are you self-reliant? Have you allowed spiritual pride to come in to think that you can do it yourself? Oh, friends, if that's what's come, then let's humble ourselves before the Lord once again. Amen. Let's bring ourselves as a burnt offering and lay ourselves upon the altar and say, Father, Amen. You are all and I'm nothing. Amen. I do not know the way, but You know the way. Amen. And bleed to the great shepherd and see how His great attributes will start to minister to you once again. Let's come to a time of prayer. Let's call Him on the scene. Amen. Oh, Father, I bring myself before. Come to a time of worship, saints. Just keep your petition in your soul and just keep it presented before the Lord. Amen.
Father of love, never failing to forgive, its mercy.
We'll be saved.
to dedication. Let's sing that song. Make it a bit faster. Let's sing one of them. One of them. It's a song that the prophet was singing on his way down to that house in Memphis. Aren't you glad you're one of them?
Amen.
Friends, there's billions of people out there today. Think about it. Yeah? In darkness. Imagine all the people in the Muslim world. Imagine them. No contact with the great shepherd whatsoever. Imagine all the Hindus, the Buddhists. Imagine all of those people out there going and dipping themselves in the Ganges and, you know, going to Mecca, sincere. But God has granted you grace that you know the great shepherd. Friends, it's worth more than all the gold and silver in this world. What could be more precious than to know him and his leadership, even if he commits you to death like he did Paul, commits you to suffering like he did Job. That's his prerogative. He knows what he's doing. But friends, just to know him. You may say, I don't know him so well. Oh, friends, you know him far better than 99.99% of this world. Oh, it's the grace of God, friends. You really should appreciate him. He's so kind and good to us. The Lord is good. Let's sing that song. Let's sing one more. Let's sing the original life. Oh, the original life, the original seed, the original word. Is that what you believe?
Amen.
It's the original that came from the bosom of the great shepherd himself. Oh, friends, what a word that we've got.
The original seed, the original word, it's what I believe, the Son of Man is within, the seventh seal is open, the original life, the original. Yes.
the dedication. Really glad to dedicate the little bundle of joy for our brother and our sister. Let's sing the chorus there, brother. Him is more at home in the house of God than a lot of people. Yeah,
amen.
He's perfectly at rest. Yeah, he's really enjoying himself. So really do thank the Lord for the little baby Aaron, yes. For our brother and our sister. May the Lord really bless him and bless them. Let's pray. Father, I do remember, Lord, the first time that we met Sister Olga, Lord, and Father, Lord, even Brother Greg before that, and just the way that you've led and guided since then. Until, Father, we can come unto this day and see the grace that you bestowed upon them, Lord, our brother and his wife. Oh, how precious that it is, Lord. Father, we just want to look unto thee, Lord. Father, for little Aaron, Lord. Father, do pray for him, Lord. Father, he's got a godly uncle. He's got a godly father. He's got a godly mother. Father, you've given him shepherd parents and a shepherd uncle. And, Father, people that surround him, that, Father, desire to walk with you. I pray that you'd give them quickening power, Father, special wisdom and grace in this age. I pray that you'll help them, Lord, as parents, our brother Alex and sister Olga together, that, Father, you would help them, Lord, as parents, Lord, that you would lead them and guide them in a unity, Lord. Father, and grant them, Lord, that wisdom from above. And even little Aaron, Lord, we do bring him before thee now, Lord. And Father, we want to give him into your hands, Lord. Father, we know that your angels encompass them that fear thee. And we know, Lord, that, Father, these little ones, Lord, Jesus, you said, suffer them to come unto me. Because, Lord, you are the great shepherd. We want to just bring him up unto thee, this little soul, Father, to commit him into your hands. We pray, Jesus, from this day forth, may you start to influence him. May you start to work inside of his life, Lord, that when he'd get to the age that he can understand more, Lord, that, Father, there'd be a reality of your presence. There'd be a reality of who you are. That would work inside of him, that you'd do something in him, Lord, if you would tarry at a young age, that he may never be able to get away from it, Lord. Bless him, we pray. Keep him from evil, Lord, we pray. Deliver him from, Lord, Father, all of the wiles of the wicked one, Lord. Keep him in your hands, Lord, we pray. May he always be a blessing to his parents. Father, Lord, may he bring joy in the house all the days of his life, Lord. And as we move into the world to come, Lord, may there be, Father, appreciation for the goodness of what you bestowed upon the house. Father, bless this little boy. We give him into your hands. We commit him gladly to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 God bless you, sir. God bless you, brother. Amen. 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 Let's sing one more song, saints, and we'll ask Brother Maury if he'd come too close to us. Is the brother there? If you'd be kind enough, brother, thank you very much. Please take greetings to Brother Chandler as well for us. And also the sisters from Birmingham, God bless them as well. Let's sing one. We close in prayer, and if people want to worship, please continue on.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I bring you greetings from London, from Pastor Peter Channel and the saints over there. The brothers are promoting me to a deacon, but actually I'm the song lead over there in London. So we thank the Lord for just giving us the grace to be here today, and we enjoy the promotion too. I feel like before we pray, because I love singing, we can sing just one more song if you don't mind, and then we'll pray and close. The song says just humble yourself before the Lord. After the preaching today, I felt like we need to just humble ourselves before the Lord, and he'll lift us up. Amen. I wonder if you know it.
Before the Lord, he will lift you up. My sister, humble yourself. Oh, before the Lord, he will lift you up. Oh, lift you up, he will lift you up. My
Jesus, we just come before you this wonderful afternoon, Lord God, to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, the Lord God. We prayed before we came here, Lord, that, Lord God, you may speak to our needs. And we can say we're going rejoicing, Lord God. Lord God, you reminded us to humble ourselves, Lord God. Before you, Lord God, and you will lift us up, Lord Jesus. The Lord, to allow you to be the shepherd, Lord God, of our heart, Lord. A shepherd of our soul, Lord Jesus. And the Lord God, if we are just laying at the gate of our, the door of our hearts, Lord Jesus. And the Lord God, the enemy will not come in. And we shall not go out, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this revelation tonight, Lord Jesus. As we head our ways, separate ways, Lord God, we pray. May the blessing remind me in this church, Lord God. May each and every one of us take the fire that we've taken from here, Lord God. The Lord God, you may burn all the dross out of us, Lord Jesus. You may just burn on and on, Lord Jesus. The Lord, we may receive, Lord, the everlasting life, Lord. We thank your precious brother Andrew, Lord God, who minister, Lord. We know virtue came out of him, Lord God. May you renew him, Lord. Strengthen him, Lord God. As he continues to shepherd this church, Lord God, may your Holy Spirit always be happy to be here, Lord God. Oh, we thank you and we appreciate you today, Lord. May your peace that lives, Lord Jesus, continue to live in each and every believer, Lord God. As you go our separate ways, go with us and humble us in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Amen.
Don't you want all the dross to be burnt away? God bless you, saints.